Exclusive: signs you have a spike protein blood clot and what to do about it. We previously covered how the spike proteins of SARS-CoV-2 and the COVID vaccines can both cause blood clotting. There's no reason to panic about clots, but it's important to understand the risk. A normal/negative COVID test result does not completely exclude the potential of clots. Regardless of whether the diagnosis is confirmed or not, if there is a symptom, the most important step is to prevent it. Move around as much as you can. If you're resting in bed, try to stretch your legs to keep blood circulating. Don't start any blood-thinning medications without consulting your doctor first. Avoid taking any COVID-19 vaccine as much as possible. Once vaccinated, the spike protein is highly thrombogenic, directly activating the clotting cascade. So, the first strategy of preventing the formation of clots is to detox spike protein. For example, a number of natural ways to increase autophagy could be helpful to degrade spike proteins from the body. Methods to boost autophagy include intermittent fasting, sunlight, quality and timely sleep, meditation, and walking, as well as naturally derived molecules like ivermectin, melatonin, resveratrol, spermidine, terpene nutrient, etc. What to test for? Activation of the clotting cascade leads to both large clots as well as microclots. All long COVID symptoms may indicate the potential existence of microclots in the body, including but not limited to brain fog, memory loss, sleep disorders, anxiety or depression, chest pain, breathlessness, tachycardia, fatigue, post-exertional malaise, etc. In the legs, swelling is the most common sign of a blood clot. If you have significant swelling in one leg, call your doctor right away. Some patients have symptoms called COVID toes red, swollen toes that might be due to small clots in the blood vessels of the feet. Clinical studies show that patients with COVID-19 have increased fibrinogen, fibrin degradation products, D-dimer, and von Willebrand factor, and these elevations appear to correlate with severity of disease and risk of clotting. Here is a number of basic screening tests that could be considered if someone has long COVID-like symptoms. Complete blood count with differential and platelet count. D-dimer as a marker of clotting activation. A markedly elevated D-dimer indicates the abnormal clots and the fibrosis is activated. CRP, a simple, cheap, and sensitive marker of ongoing inflammation. Fibrinogen. Factor 8. Von Willebrand factor. Critical considerations for antithrombotic therapy. In general, there are two classes of antithrombotic drugs, anticoagulants and antiplatelet drugs. Anticoagulants act on the clotting cascade and keep it from completion, while antiplatelet medicines inhibit the platelets from activating and attaching to each other and the endothelium. Dr. Jordan Vaughn, internal medicine specialist, says it's key to start antithrombotic treatment in affected patients as early as possible. In the acutely ill from COVID-19, it was the sickest that I put on anticoagulation to prevent them from hospitalization. Starting them on DOAC and antiplatelet therapy was the foundation of keeping the hypoxic COVID-19 patient requiring hospitalization, Dr. Vaughn said. After reading and understanding the COVID-19 associated coagulopathy, it was critical to understand this pathophysiology and manage this unique disease state, because all of them are hypercoagulable. In acute severe COVID, I would treat patients with antithrombotic therapy and have them come back every few days to see if their symptoms improve. In those that I would start anticoagulation, I started to notice that not only did they get better, but very few of them came back with long-term complications. So it seemed to me that, theoretically, it was like whatever we're doing differently and treating these patients that are typically sicker was actually improving their symptoms in acute phase and also for the most part prevented the post-acute sequela that often came later in patients that were never acutely severe. Dr. Vaughn said he selects some coagulation lab tests to see if his patients were elevated in those factors at all. It was after the success of antiplatelet and anticoagulation in the acute treatment of COVID that I started to wonder about utilizing it in post-acute sequelae COVID, and was led by diligent research to the work of Jocko Laubscher, Rija Pretorius, and Doug Kell. It was as if a light bulb went off when I read their work. It profoundly changed how I look at both acute COVID, but most importantly long COVID/PASC, and their work was instrumental to truly helping suffering patients. Whether the cause of blood clots is the virus or vaccine, the symptoms do not differ much because the foundational cause is the spike protein. Thus, when treating syndromes involving microclotting and local tissue hypoxia, regardless of the source of spike protein, the mess to clean up is the same. It has been also reported that suitable and closely monitored triple anticoagulant therapy leads to the removal of the microclots and also removes symptoms. It is a dual antiplatelet therapy once a day and direct oral anticoagulant. In addition, it is important to include stomach protection with a medicine like a H2 blocker or a proton pump inhibitor. At this point, the length of treatment is unknown and usually relies on a careful history of the patient's interactions with the spike protein, time since last exposure, history of underlying autoimmune dysfunction, and overall functional symptomatology. Dr. Vaughn's treatments are driven by these factors and typically lasts from 1 to 3 months. His hope is for a robust clinical trial soon to further inform length and identify additional surrogate clinical markers for clinicians to use to identify patients that would benefit from treatment. Reducing fibrin formation. Anticoagulants slow down clotting, thereby reducing fibrin formation and preventing clots from forming and growing. Antiplatelet agents prevent platelets from clumping and also prevent clots from forming and growing. Apixaban is in a class of anticoagulants. It is a factor XA inhibitor. It works by blocking the action of a certain natural substance that helps blood clots to form. Exogenous heparin can significantly reduce coagulation caused by spike proteins and provide fundamental support for anticoagulant therapy, especially for critically ill COVID-19 patients. Calm platelets down. Platelets are hyperactivated by the S1 subunit of the spike protein of SARS-CoV-2. Platelets interact with circulating inflammatory molecules, the newly damaged endothelium, and immune cells. Platelet complexes are mediated by membrane-membrane interactions via receptor binding. Clopidogrel is an antiplatelet medicine. It prevents platelets from sticking together and forming a dangerous blood clot. Taking clopidogrel helps prevent blood clots if you have an increased risk of having them. Clopidogrel is a blood thinner that's used to prevent heart attacks and strokes in people who are at higher risk for those events. Aspirin is also an antiplatelet medicine. It prevents platelets from clumping together to form a clot and acts on thromboxane A receptor within platelet. Please note, all treatment should be prescribed under the instruction and strict monitoring of your physicians. Nutraceuticals for thrombotic conditions. There are a variety of dietary supplements that may have a beneficial effect for thrombotic conditions. Meanwhile, many of these compounds also have anti-inflammatory, antioxidative, and autophagy-boosting effects which are beneficial for COVID-related symptoms as well. Flavonoids. Resveratrol has antiplatelet properties. It is a naturally occurring flavonoid primarily found in grapes, red wine, and peanuts. A dose-dependent inhibitory effect of resveratrol on platelet aggregation has been observed in cellular and animal models. Furthermore, resveratrol's multiple effects of lowering of oxidative stress and inflammation, enhancing metabolic capacity, increasing nitric oxide synthesis by endothelial cells, and promoting autophagy are beneficial for patients with COVID-related clotting issues as well. A major component in green tea, epigallocatechin 3-gallate, is believed to actively inhibit platelets in humans. EGCG targets multiple pathways to achieve this role. Genistein, a tyrosine kinase inhibitor, is an inhibitor of platelet aggregation and has effects in preventing thrombotic occlusion in blood vessels. It is found predominantly in soy products. Genistein's primary mechanism at least includes to inhibit platelet aggregation induced by collagen and antagonistic effects for thromboxane receptors. Garlic. The compounds of adenosine, allicin, and paraffinic polysulfides appear to be responsible for the inhibitory effect of garlic on platelet aggregation. Derived from the cleavage of allein by allein lyase, allicin inhibits platelet activity in vitro without affecting cyclooxygenase, lipoxygenase, thromboxane, vascular prostacyclin synthase, or cyclic AMP levels. Antioxidants. Well known for its antioxidant function, vitamin E has multiple beneficial properties for clotting conditions. For example, it improves the activity of endothelium-derived nitric oxide, improves endothelial function in part due to the inhibition of protein kinase C, and inhibits platelet aggregation. Vitamin E has been shown to decrease platelet adhesion to collagen, fibrinogen, and fibronectin, and increase platelet sensitivity to prostaglandin E1. Selenium is a trace element and an essential component of glutathione peroxidase enzymes, protecting cells from oxidative stress. A deficiency in selenium is associated with an increased risk of arterial thrombosis. Selenium has an effect of inhibiting platelet aggregation, primarily through inhibiting those substances forming blood clots. Drug interactions. The impact of dietary supplements on normal hemostasis and antithrombotic therapy should be given consideration. Supplements that have been reported to affect normal coagulation and platelet activity and/or have been reported to possibly interact with coumarin anticoagulants include danshin, garlic, ginkgo, American ginseng, Asian ginseng. However, most of these reports are either theoretical or consist of individual cases. Diet and exercise. It is widely believed that eating fruits, vegetables, and getting physical exercise is beneficial to thrombotic status, especially in those who are at risk of thrombotic diseases. In many countries, including the United States, recommendation for an antithrombotic diet and adequate physical exercise have been proposed by health authorities. Vegetables and other processed diets were classified as healthy include raisins, grapes, prunes, bananas, cantaloupe, watermelon, fresh apples or pears, oranges, grapefruit, strawberries, blueberries, peaches or apricots or plums, tomatoes, tomato juice, tomato sauce, broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, carrots, mixed vegetables, yellow or winter squash, eggplant or zucchini, yams or sweet potatoes, spinach cooked, spinach raw, kale or mustard orchard greens, iceberg or head lettuce, romaine or leaf lettuce, celery, mushrooms, beets, alfalfa sprouts, garlic, corn, nuts, peanut butter, string beans, tofu or soybeans, beans or lentils, peas or lima beans, vegetable oil used for cooking, tea, coffee, decaffeinated coffee. Less healthy, apple cider or juice, orange, grapefruit and other fruit juice, white rice, baked or mashed potatoes, potato or corn chips. Mind-body interventions. There are many pathological similarities between chronic syndromes like myalgic encephalomyelitis or chronic fatigue syndrome and COVID-like symptoms. Canadian researchers conducted a systematic review of mind-body interventions to treat ME/CFS. Fatigue severity, anxiety/depression, and physical and mental functioning were shown to be improved in patients receiving MBIs. Interventions included mindfulness-based stress reduction, mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, relaxation, qigong, cognitive behavioral stress management, acceptance and commitment therapy, and isometric yoga. 12 out of 382 retrieved references were included. 7 studies were randomized controlled trials. Even though further research is warranted, it does no harm to try out these inexpensive methods to improve COVID-like symptoms. Perspectives for the future. We are facing unprecedented challenges during the near post-COVID era. The virus has not disappeared from the human world, and long-term sequelae and vaccine-related syndromes have hit us heavily. The strategy of rushing to produce a vaccine against an emerging virus we've not fully come to understand and then pushing it onto the majority of the human population is a fundamental mistake. The spike protein has taught our human world such a big lesson. But despite being on the cliff's edge of disaster, there are solutions for us in nature and tradition, and plenty of these remedies that seem prepared just for humans are here to help and cure us. It is never too late to learn and never too late to change. References: Natural Ways to Increase Autophagy and Detox Spike Proteins After COVID Infection Vaccination. High Risk of Thrombosis in Patients with Severe SARS-CoV-2 Infection, a Multicenter Prospective Cohort Study. A Central Role for Amyloid Fibrin Microclots in Long COVID/PASC, Origins and Therapeutic Implications, Biochemical Journal, Portland Press. https://link.springer.com/protocol/10.10078-1-60761-8061-803-4-9. Effect of Resveratrol on Platelet Aggregation in Vivo and In Vitro. Resveratrol and its effects on the vascular system PMC. Green tea epigallocatechin 3-gallate inhibits platelet signaling pathways triggered by both proteolytic and non-proteolytic agonists. Antiplatelet activity of epigallocatechin gallate is mediated by the inhibition of PL-gamma-2 phosphorylation, elevation of PGD2 production, and maintaining calcium ATPase activity. Genistein, an isoflavone included in soy, inhibits thrombotic vessel occlusion in the mouse femoral artery and in vitro platelet aggregation. Science Direct. https://www.sciencedirect.com/science/articles/abs/pii/s02786915183006?via% %3dhub. https://www.pilefa.com/articles/0952-327890118-g/pdf. Antiplatelet constituents of garlic and onion. https://link.springer.com/articles/10.1007/bf0196910. https://academic.oup.com/nutritionreviews/article/57/10/3067258?login=false. https://academic.oup.com/jn/article/131/2/374s/468692-6?login=false. https://www.tanfonline.com/doi/abs/10.1080/0731572-4.1991.1071817173. https://www.atherosclerosis-journal.com/articles/s0021-9150069-0/full-text. https://link.springer.com/article/10.1007/s0059900-5006-8. Prevention of Thrombotic Disorders by Antithrombotic Diet and Exercise, Evidence by Using Global Thrombosis Tests PMC. 2015-2020 Dietary Guidelines for Americans. 2008 Physical Activity Guidelines for Americans. The Potential Role of Ischemia, Reperfusion Injury in Chronic, Relapsing Diseases such as Rheumatoid Arthritis, Long COVID, and ME/CFS. Evidence, Mechanisms, and Therapeutic Implications, Biochemical Journal, Portland Press. Systematic Review of Mind-Body Interventions to Treat Myalgic Encephalomyelitis/Chronic Fatigue Syndrome. 14 Natural Blood Thinners for Heart Health.